Tonight, we read God's Word from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read the first 10 verses and consider as the text verses 7 through 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Thus far, we read the Word of God tonight. I call your attention, as I said, to verses 7 through 10 as the text. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how would you like in your afflictions and infirmities to be able to sit with Pastor Paul and to be counseled and to be comforted and to be instructed by the Apostle Paul? Well, that's what we have tonight. The Apostle Paul as our pastor. The Apostle Paul, who speaks of his own experience, speaks specifically of his experience with regard to a thorn in his flesh, and speaks of the fact that he struggled with that thorn in his flesh through prayer and received an answer from God through that prayer. You're going to keep that thorn in your flesh. It will not be removed from your flesh. And you will find, my grace is sufficient to hold you up, to sustain you. Now, in all of that, the Apostle Paul learned that not only is God's grace sufficient to sustain me in connection with this thorn in the flesh, which referred to a specific problem, a specific affliction that the apostle suffered. But he learned that if God's grace is sufficient to sustain me, to hold me up with regard to this thorn in my flesh, then his grace is sufficient in every affliction. And that's the way we ought to understand the end, or not the end, but rather the beginning of verse 10. In verse 7, we read of the thorn that was given to the apostle in the flesh, referring to a specific problem, issue in his life from which he suffered. But then notice verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, plural, in reproaches, plural, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so the apostle, from the thorn in the flesh, was able to see a bigger picture. Not only is God's grace sufficient for this one thorn or affliction, but for all my thorns and afflictions. And then the apostle is able to see an even bigger picture. Not only is that true for me, but this is true for all of God's people. Don't you see? This is what the apostle is saying in the passage before us tonight. This is what this minister of God is saying to the members of the church in Corinth and the members of our congregation tonight too. He's saying this to you. God's grace is sufficient for all of your thorns and afflictions. Has Paul suffered exactly what all of us have suffered or are suffering? No doubt his suffering was unique. But when we come to this passage, we find, somewhat to our consternation, that we're not able really to identify what this thorn in the apostle's flesh was. And from the apostle's point of view, we might be able to explain that this way. This was a weakness of which he might have been embarrassed or ashamed. And as we do not like to tell others about our weaknesses and put them on display for others, so we might be able to sympathize with the apostle here, that he doesn't want to lay before the Corinthians and before the whole New Testament church, here's my weakness. We have to ask tonight, why didn't the Holy Spirit, who ultimately inspired Paul to write these words, why didn't he want Paul to say, which he could have easily done, this is what the thorn in my flesh was? So that the Holy Spirit could say, it doesn't matter what Paul's thorn was. What's important is that he had a thorn. And what is important is that you have thorns. And that no matter what your thorn is, even though he was single and you are married, even though he didn't live to be an elderly man and you might be elderly, even though he didn't have the afflictions of married life or of a parent, and you may have those afflictions, or even though he didn't suffer the diseases you may suffer, he had a thorn like unto your thorns. And he learned what you need to learn. His grace is sufficient. And so in the end, we see here tonight, as always, God is our shepherd and pastor. He's the one who gave this thorn to the Apostle Paul. He's the one who sent Satan to buffet him as he experienced the pain of that thorn. He's the one who came to him with the answer of the prayer, no, I won't remove the thorn. And he's the one who taught the apostle, and who teaches you and me, when you're weak, then you are strong, for then my grace is sufficient. So let us consider this text tonight under the theme, the prayer about the thorn in the flesh. We're going to notice in the first place the request for its removal. Secondly, we're going to notice the negative answer, no. And then thirdly, we're going to notice the believer's response and acceptance of this thorn. We find the prayer itself here in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And that prayer about the thorn is helpful for us, not in identifying exactly what the thorn was, but in being able to identify with the pain and the suffering that the apostle experienced because of the thorn. Now, when we think of a thorn, we think of a sliver, a piece of wood that might poke into the skin of our hands, or a sliver that we might get when we walk barefoot through our yards or through the woods. But when the apostle in verse 8 says, I besought the Lord that it might depart from me, he indicates to us that this is not the kind of thorn or sliver that he had in his flesh. If he had a sliver in his hand, no doubt he would have gone to work to dig it out and remove it himself. If he had a sliver in his foot, if he couldn't remove it himself, he would go to someone else to have it removed. But this is not a thorn or a sliver that anyone else can remove or that the apostle can remove himself. He needs to beseech the Lord to have it removed. This thorn, then, is something in his life. Something that the apostle is experiencing that is painful. An infirmity that is distressing him. Now, as I said, the Word of God tonight does not identify that for us definitely, what this thorn was. We do not know if it was a physical infirmity, as some suppose, that the apostle was suffering because he had weak eyesight, maybe even was going blind, or that the apostle was suffering from chronic headaches, as some suppose. Or was this some kind of more mental or emotional or even spiritual affliction? We do not know. But the point is, this apostle was experiencing something in his life that he didn't want. Something that was making his life difficult. Something that exposed him to be the weak piece of flesh, human being, that he was. And this is found here in Scripture, this description of the apostle's thorn, in order to make the Corinthian Christians and to make you and me tonight think about our thorns in the flesh. What is your thorn? Is it something physical? Maybe some kind of illness or disease, something life-threatening? Or maybe not life-threatening, but life-changing? Or is it some kind of mental distress? What some of the older theologians would refer to as melancholy, but what we today would refer to depression and anxiety. Do you know? Do you have a thorn in your flesh? But now think not only of your own thorn in your flesh, but think of the congregation. Think of the others in the congregation. Those are individuals that you know of who have a thorn. Maybe because of some kind of physical or mental distress. Maybe because of some circumstance in their life that is unwanted to them. The Apostle Paul never indicated that he was unhappy, that he was unmarried. But for some, that's their thorn. I want to be married and I'm not. The Apostle Paul never experienced the distress of a weak marriage. But for some people, that's the thorn. This husband, this wife with whom I have to do daily. The Apostle Paul never had to experience the separation, the breaking apart of a marriage. But for some people, that's the thorn in the flesh. I live now daily divorced from my spouse. The Apostle Paul didn't have the experience of wayward children who were a spiritual burden, or special needs children who could be more of a mental and physical burden. But for some, that's the thorn in the flesh. And that thorn is painful, especially for this reason. It exposes weakness. That's how the apostle refers to his thorn in the flesh. That's how God also, in his response to the apostle, refers to this thorn in the flesh. In verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And the apostle, the end of verse 10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." What is that thing in your life that makes you conscious of your weakness? What is that thing in your life that if other people knew about it, they would look at you and say, "You're weak. You are weak piece of flesh." The apostle is thinking not only about how this thorn makes him weak physically, understand, but the pain of this for the apostle is that this thorn in the flesh, from his perspective, is hindering him in his work as an apostle. This thorn in the flesh is hindering him in his work of preaching the gospel, of ruling and caring for the church and for Christ's sheep. This is especially painful for a believer. For an unbeliever, a thorn in the flesh is painful only from a physical point of view. This hinders my production. This hinders my ability to be efficient at work. This hinders my ability to pursue pleasure here in my life. But for the believer who is able to say, as the apostle does in verse 10, "I suffer for Christ's sake," that's always the goal. That's always the most important thing in the believer's life. I live for Christ. I serve His church in His kingdom. Now this thorn is making me weak and unable to fulfill my duties. And then, to show that the apostle is thinking about his spiritual calling and his spiritual work of serving God, we read here in the text of the fact that Satan came. "There was given to me," he says, "a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." And he's speaking there literally of Satan coming to me with this thorn to beat upon me with his fists, to bruise me, to beat me down. And of course, the idea is not that the apostle experienced the devil physically beating on him, on his body with his fists. But he experienced, as he was in his weakened state now because of the thorn, this thorn itself, this weakness, this infirmity that I have in my flesh is making it very difficult for me to serve Jesus Christ, making it very difficult for me to fulfill my calling as an apostle. And now, to make matters worse, here comes Satan to beat me down spiritually, to test my faith, to sow doubts in my mind, to try to turn me away from God, to try to make me even more ineffective in my work and calling. And you see, The devil works the same way today. Be one thing, and you can understand that in your experience. Be one thing if the only thing that we had to deal with was our weaknesses and our infirmities. It's hard enough to be a faithful member of the church with the weaknesses and infirmities that we have. Hard enough to be a faithful father, to be a faithful mother, to be a faithful pastor, to be a faithful teacher, to be faithful in any of our callings. And then not only do we have that infirmity, but then here comes Satan to beat on our faith, to make us question God's goodness and grace, to sow not only doubt, but bitterness, and anger. And now we are to serve God. And that leads us to ask in prayer, as the apostle did, for the removal of the thorn. Now, before we consider that prayer and the content of that prayer in detail, notice the importance of this. The apostle, remember I said, comes to us as a pastor, and he's showing us this is what you do when you have a thorn in your flesh. You go to God. He is the one who can remove the thorn. Does it mean that it's a bad idea? No, it's a good thing to go to a pastor, to go to elders, or to go to someone else in the congregation for help as you struggle with a thorn in your flesh. But remember always that it's not the duty of that person who you go to take the thorn out of your flesh. That person isn't the one who gave you that thorn. That person isn't the one who can remove that thorn. Don't trust in man. Turn to God to remove the thorn. Something that is important for me as a pastor, and for the office bearers, and for you as members of this church to remember too. We are sympathetic to people when they have thorns in their flesh. We try to help them. But we must always remember, it's not on me to remove the thorn. But my duty is to point them to God. And so the apostle here in verse 8 tells us that he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. What he is showing us is that he went in prayer to the Lord very fervently, very sincerely, laying before the Lord his prayer, beseeching the Lord. That's a very strong word. And this was a prayer of faith too. Who do I go to? The apostle knows the answer. I go to the Lord when I am in trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, through whom I have access to the Father. He's the one who is sovereign over all things. He's the one who has given me this thorn in the flesh. He's the one who is able to remove from me this thorn in the flesh too. And I will persevere in prayer. Not once. And then I give up. Or twice. But three times, and then that would have been more too if God had not given the apostle a definite answer. This is the apostle who tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you pray without ceasing. And here we find out that this apostle practiced what he preached. He prayed without ceasing until the Lord said, here's my answer. And then he made, in this prayer we must notice too, his specific request. Not telling you and me what it was he wanted to be removed, but you may count on it. He told God in prayer, Father, this is the physical problem. This is the mental, the spiritual struggle. Take it away. Take it away. He cried out in faith, in his weakness, to God. This is what you and I are to do. Ready for the Lord's and waiting for the Lord's answer. And God's answer to the apostle, we notice in the first place, was no. That's clear from the whole of the text. That's clear from what we read of in verse 9 when God comes and he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God is saying to the Apostle Paul, no, that thorn that I have given you in your flesh is going to remain in your flesh through the rest of your life. That thorn is going to be with you until the day that you die. And it's maybe hard for us to hear that tonight, but sometimes that is the answer of God to us in our lives too. No, not going to take that thorn out of your life. That thing that you want that I haven't given to you, I'm not going to give to you as long as you live. And that thing that you didn't want that I gave to you, I'm not going to take away from you as long as you live. Oh, sometimes some of us know immediately we don't even have to pray. This is never going to change. That's what saints experience when they lose a loved one. They know as long as they are living here in this life, that loved one is never coming back to me. But I'm going to have to go to him or her. Sometimes the doctor is able to tell some what their condition is, and that condition is never going to change. We can treat the symptoms. We can do things to make your life more comfortable, but we're never going to be able to cure you from this condition. You're always going to suffer from some of its symptoms. But sometimes we don't know. And then the apostle shows us what we do when we don't know, we pray to God. Maybe he is going to remove this disease and send healing. Maybe he is going to reconcile this situation and bring peace in this relationship. Maybe he's going to change the circumstance. Sometimes the answer is no. God's answer to the Apostle Paul was given by direct revelation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The ascended Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him by direct revelation as an apostle. That was appropriate for the apostle to receive that direct revelation. You and I will never receive such direct revelation. We must not expect this is how God will answer our prayers. No. But he does answer. And sometimes he does say no. We know that because we confess his sovereignty. We confess his providence, that he's in control of all of the circumstances of your lives and my life. And in the way that he arranges our lives, over time it becomes very clear sometimes that it's not his will to change our lives, to take away the thorn. The thorn remains, and God says, here's my answer. It's going to remain with you for the rest of your life. But then the Lord says more in that answer. You have to understand that what the Lord is doing here is saying to the apostle, I'm going to give you this thorn, and I'm going to make you keep this thorn, so that I can use that thorn to teach you. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, beloved, here is where the difference comes in between the unbeliever who is not the child of God and the believer who is the child of God. The unbeliever is defeated by the thorn. It doesn't matter what it is. The unbeliever is weak, and only weak when he has that thorn in his flesh. The unbeliever is weak and only weak because God's grace, which is only for his children, is not given to that unbeliever, so that he is destroyed by that thorn. His life becomes miserable. His life is ruined. All the days that he lives, he is bitter. He is disappointed. He is angry because that thorn is in the flesh. The only hope that he has is this, that that thorn be removed. But what if he does have to live his whole life with arthritis? Well, then he grumbles and he's disappointed. What if he does have to live his whole life without the spouse that he wants, or with the spouse he doesn't want? He's bitter and he's angry. What if he has to live his whole life with a job that he hates? Co-workers that make him miserable. He has no hope in his life, and he may even want to end his life. But don't say this, though. And this is very important that we recognize this tonight. That what makes anyone, the unbeliever or the believer, miserable is the thorn. Don't say what makes that man or that woman who doesn't receive God's grace miserable is the fact that he is poor. He's miserable because he lost his job. He's miserable because he lost his wife, or because his child died, or because some other great calamity came upon him. No, he's miserable because he has no grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. When the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one who speaks here, says, "My grace is sufficient for thee," he's saying it's enough. My grace is enough because it's my grace that gave you that thorn. It's my grace that is more powerful than that thorn. It's my grace that is more powerful than Satan, who comes to buffet you and to tempt you when you have the thorn. It's my grace that gave you that thorn for your good. And so, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "My grace is sufficient," he is, and that's very clear from what he says here, speaking about his strength and his power. He is speaking not only about grace as a favor, understand, the undeserved favor of God towards his people, but he's saying, "This is my almighty power. My power by which I made the worlds. My power that I give to you so that you may endure, that you may bear up under this thorn, your infirmity and weakness." And notice that this grace does come from Jesus Christ. When the apostle says in verse 8, "I besought the Lord thrice," he is referring there to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says in verse 9, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," it's clear that that was the word of Jesus Christ, because he says at the end of the verse, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He sought God through Jesus Christ. He sought God in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who in his grace laid down his life for him. Jesus Christ, who in his grace paid for his sins. Now the apostle says, "I go to my Savior, Jesus Christ," knowing he loves me, that he's sympathetic, but he will show me his grace. And the Lord Jesus says, yes, but not in the way that you want. Not by removing the thorn, but by giving you the grace to hold you up under the thorn so that you can endure it. For my grace, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Does that make sense to you? On the face of it, that might not make sense to you. What can the Lord Jesus Christ mean here? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Men think that God can show himself strong by using the mighty, the strong of the world. The men of the world think that God could glorify himself, especially if he would use the wise men of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ says, no. They're useless to me. With all their human might and all their human wisdom. No, my grace must go to work. My grace must go to work to humble. My grace must go to work to empty those who think they are strong in themselves of their strength. My grace must go to work to show them that they have no strength. Then my grace, my strength is made perfect because then I can use them. Then they are of use to me. And Paul is an example of this. He needed that thorn to be humbled. That was the good that that thorn did him. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Here was a man who, remember, before his conversion was prone to pride, thinking he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, who now, after his conversion, also confesses he's prone to pride. He's the one who is able to write about how he had suffered more than all of the other disciples. How he had served Jesus Christ in preaching the gospel more than the other apostles. He is the one who was the great apostle, after all, to the Gentiles. And now he's speaking of himself here at the beginning of the chapter. I'm the man who was caught up to the third heaven. And I saw and heard things so wonderful. It's not lawful for me to speak of them here on the earth. And it's a temptation to me, and the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed that to me, to think I'm strong in myself. That I can go about preaching the gospel with my own knowledge and wisdom, because after all, I'm Paul. And I've received these revelations. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said, Paul, in your pride, you're worthless to me. You're worthless to me. You won't be any good to the church. You can't preach the gospel. You can't travel the world ruling and caring for the church. You'll only do damage. You see, Paul needed, he needed humility that said, not only, notice that, not only when I have this thorn in my flesh am I weak, but always, always. At the beginning of the verse, it seems that the Apostle Paul had the mistaken notion that when he was physically strong and free of hindrances in his life, well, then he could do the work of the Lord. Then the Lord could make use of him in his kingdom. Then he could accomplish something in his own strength. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to him and through him to us to tell us, you are never needed. I never need your strength. I never need your abilities. I never need your power. No, as a pastor and as office bearers, in your own strength and pride, you're useless to me. And as fathers and mothers, men and women and children, members of the church, in your own strength and pride, you're useless to me. My grace needs to come. And sometimes I choose to send it with thorns, with afflictions, to humble you, to show you you're nothing, to make you conscious so you will confess. It's not of me. I don't have any strength. It's all Jesus Christ. And sometimes, if the thorn itself isn't enough, he also sends, yes, he sends Satan to buffet us, to tempt us, to show us how weak we are. So that then we will, by his grace, confess our weakness and then be useful in his kingdom. Beloved, the Apostle Paul shows us that sometimes it is God's will to give us thorns, not only for our good to humble us, but then also, and seeing that, he shows us that we need to receive those thorns, those weaknesses. When the Lord God made it clear to the Apostle Paul, this is my answer. No, I'm not going to take the thorn away from you. You're going to bear that thorn all your life. And then the apostle received that thorn with joy, glorying in that thorn. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And for when I am weak, then am I strong. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. And so too, the word of God comes to you and me in the church today. Don't look at the thorn and be discouraged or become angry and rebel against God. But through that thorn, see the grace of God, see the strength of God working in your life. Receive that thorn. Be content not only, but rejoice in the glory of God revealed through your weakness. And then your response will be that you will serve God and serve his church. Do you see that tonight? The Apostle Paul was mistaken in his thinking that because of this thorn in the flesh, I'm not going to be very effective in preaching the gospel. Because of this thorn in the flesh, I'm not going to be very effective in serving the kingdom of God. Not only was he able to consider it, to continue in all of that other work, but consider this. Now the Apostle Paul is able to come as a pastor to God's people in a way that he couldn't before. I've suffered from a thorn in the flesh, and I prayed to God, and I found his grace is sufficient. So he was of use to the church and of comfort to us as God's people. We see that in the church today too, don't we? People with thorns in the flesh, that is, people with weaknesses we can see. That doesn't hinder them, does it? That elderly saint who is obviously very weak, by word and by example, brings comfort and encouragement to you and me. That sick saint, that dying saint, that saint sitting in a wheelchair is able, when he or she says, "I am weak, and the power of Christ rests upon me," to be of great encouragement and comfort to me and you and to all the church. And then we see, don't we? Yes, God's strength is made perfect through the grace that he gives to me in my weakness, but then that extends to others. Then we're able to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, then we are strong by God's grace. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pray that thou wilt indeed take away our weaknesses and infirmities. But, Lord, whether we suffer from thorns in the flesh or do not, teach us, as the Apostle Paul learned, not to glory ever in ourselves, but to confess whether we have thorns in the flesh and are weak, or whether we are strong in the flesh, that we have nothing in ourselves to boast, nothing in ourselves to be of use to thy church. Make us strong by thy grace, and cause thy grace to comfort us in all of our afflictions, so that we may also comfort each other. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.